Hello, and welcome to episode 85 of Desi Books, news and views about Desi literature from the world over. I'm your host, Jenny Butt. Thank you for tuning in. Today, in the Desi Reads segment, we have Gaia Rajan reading from her poetry collection, Killing It. Gaia Rajan is the author of the chapbooks Moth Funerals and Killing It. Her work is published or forthcoming in the 2022 Best of the Net Anthology, the Kenyon Review, Thrush, Split Lip Magazine, Diode, Palette Poetry, and elsewhere. Gaia is an undergraduate at Carnegie Mellon University, studying computer science and creative writing. She lives in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You can find her at Gaia Rajan on Twitter and Instagram. Killing It won the Spring 2021 Black River Chapbook Competition. Her second short collection, It's a Razor-Sharp Interrogation of Queer Asian American Identity, Intergenerational Trauma, and the Detritus of American Achievement. Here, lineage is at once redemptive and violent. In this steely gut punch of a collection, Rajan's speakers don't flinch, even when confronted with their own dissolution. They haunt ghost towns and cheer on bank robbers. They wake in the middle of the night with visceral dreams of a centuries-old genocide, trying to remember how to coax a howl to eat. They grasp for myths sturdy enough to hold, emerging empty-handed and furious. Killing It is a vibrant, disquieting collection that demands to be read with reverence and abandon. On a personal note, let me just add that these poems are exactly how that last line described them, both vibrant and disquieting. You know, I'm a prose writer, and I am constantly in awe of how poets distill things down to the most essential and haunting ideas, thoughts, and scenes. Gaia's poems do that so well that they deserve multiple rereads to appreciate both their language and their layers. Also, I owe Gaia a huge apology for taking 3 months to get this out there. My own book release, writing deadlines, and a constant backlog all contributed to this, and I promise I will do better in 2023. The transcript of this excerpt is also up on the Desi Books website. And now, here's Gaia Rajan.
Hi, my name is Gaia Rajan, and I'm reading excerpts from Killing It. I'm going to start with the title poem because it arrived first, and so I read it everywhere I go. Killing It. My folks say hoping's good, but it'll never save you because in our Ohio, the best you'll get is broke televangelists and ravenous churches. My folks are bootstrap royalty, crisp and cuffed shirts and gold wedding rings that flash on a backhand slap. I was the prodigal daughter and then a prodigy. The child mothers prayed for, spelling bee queen, good at silence. In town they say we don't deserve our breath, but we call ourselves holy anyway, because even gods have short memories. All my friends are bored waitress girls who fold tips in their skirts like scriptures, and touch up smudged lipstick at the altar of convenience store bathrooms. We line our cheeks with drive-through grease and never talk about our bodies. Wait in the back seat for a damp god. Like all good disciples, we are grateful for our unmaking. We neon, we bleeding, leaving one by one for the red-eye shift. I don't let things be faded in poems. My folks believe in lotteries, not failures. The opposite of dead is exemplary. They believe this every time they abandon me, kneeling at their beauty, their model, their myth. My folks know all that is holy is only a failure of distance. White man, far enough away, turns to God. Sometimes when people say I'm killing it, I remember everything exemplary I know or ever will traces back to a small girl on the floor praying, please, please, make them see me. I think next I'm going to read this prose poem that I wrote after reading a lot of Diane Seuss, and I'm really obsessed with her. And this is for one of my best friends. It's called Rights. You look so happy, your father will say after your first shift. You are good at being happy. You are 17, suddenly pretty. You understand how the world works. If you're good at school, you'll meet a boy in science club or orchestra, and if not, you'll meet him in the parking lot. You will like him because he does not know anything about you. You'll fuck for the first time in this field, if it's still a field, and if by then it's a strip mall, you'll go to his car. You are good at being happy with usual men, their mediocre bodies. You'll visit him at the end of his minimum wage shift as a dishwasher, and his elbows will be soaked and soapy. He'll hug you and it'll leave your back cold, like the idea of wings. He'll break up with you when you both get into college out of state, and you will not mourn. You'll go to the DMV. You'll roll a cigarette on the sidewalk outside the DMV and light it with a lighter a girl you loved gave you for your 17th birthday. The girl will be named something white and usual. Susan, Alice, Emma, she will have perfect pitch or a buzz cut. She will be Asian like you. You will hate her, and if you finally realize you love her, she will die before you can say anything. If you do not realize you love her, then you will sit on the sidewalk outside a DMV and grind your cigarette butt into the pavement, and it'll pop when extinguished, like the idea of fireworks. And you will drive away, and the cigarette will outlive you. I think next I'm going to read from this Guzzle Crown that I started writing. And at the point that I was just beginning to conceptualize this project, I had no idea of its scope. I was writing this thesis on hontology and partition, and just attempting to make a form in poetry that echoed the geopolitical aspects of partition. And so this is what I came up with. It's called Inheritance. No one lives just once. Get lucky and it'll be a clean break, but sometimes an earlier self lingers as you claw out from your own sinew. She escapes to the alley on break from the gas station night shift and gasps her name over and over in the dark, or she loses her broken voice begging at a border, or she sprints home, sure something's chasing her, breaking bambles like the doe her neighbor shot in the eye. Two of these a morning. I barely break a sweat. I swore I could smell her. The body soured with ghosts, blooming, then the doe broke through the trees again, bristling like she'd never been killed at all. I wanted to say, please break, please crumple all on your own. I wanted to say, doe, I don't want to kill you, please. I know how to break. Sister, I don't want to kill you, please. I know how to break my name in two. I've learned. I'm mined for parts. Lightning. I flew past the doe, past the girl turning porous in the field, past the night sky where we whispered mine, 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 because we hadn't ever seen a shaft so bright, so full of diamonds. Then the shadow I stumble into is mine. Her head bent back to her hands. She screams. I watch her colorless tongue. I drive to the gas station where they mine bones for neon light. I tell the cashier I like the blue. My mother's grandmother says I'm too young for ghosts, says mine are mostly imagined. In the papers, officials argue partition's murders were a necessary cost. Progress preaches itself to me. Six bluebirds in a sack. Memories about the body, not the past. None of these memories are mine. None of these memories are mine. At night, a small child follows me and I can't remember what to ask. Who are your parents? How long since your hands? Do you remember when you're from? I watch her praying not for God, but for language. Child, I swell. I remember how to touch you, how to be a mother, how to coax a howl to eat. I'm sorry, I said child and meant war. Remember, language is merely a field to walk through. Say sky and look, blue. Say escape and find corridors of people you can't remember you ever lost. Say ghost and you open yourself to death. A myth and an exorcism are not different things. Remembered in a museum, a creature, weeping. Something happened to us, but I can't remember what. I can't remember anything. The accepted murder of country. Like, quiet, child. Forget as much as you can. Stop leaking, weeping, streaking your ghosts across the floors. Quiet was what the man told me before his hands at my throat. The government wanted quiet borders. Planted graves at the aperture of progress. Does it matter which? When I was young, I saw the quiet horses. I stuck my fists in their mouths. In 1947, 2 million people died in migration. I fly back to the border, stand in the quiet village again, light on the other side of the door. It's all over, the parade for independence. I watch my mother get quiet, pack a bag with an old newspaper, her mother's knife, a blue dress, watch her cross the ocean and birth me again and raise me on quiet. And there's three more, but I'm going to let that be for the book. I hope you read it. So around this time, I was also thinking about, Killing It as a whole is about the violence of achievement. And in order to completely reckon with that, I had to kind of have some figurative conversations with my inner child, because who would I have been, if I wasn't constantly erasing myself for empire, you know? And so this poem is called Baby Girl's Third Birthday. It's a prose poem. So yeah, Baby Girl's Third Birthday. In a dream, the end came. It had my mother's eyes. Everyone was flying except for me. I looked up and saw wind in their skirts. It was raining. I was wearing a green dress. I turned off the sun. Go you, screamed the woman. I ran up the slide and didn't slide down. I climbed a tree and watched the boy smile with his braces wide like big harps. Once my eyes didn't let me open. Harps are scary. Everyone floated up to the moon and I couldn't fly. I dug a small hole in the sandbox and stuck my hand in it. How long will I be drowning? I asked aloud. I was wearing big red lips. Up, up, smiled my mother. A man put his hands on my face to see if I was bright. I like rabbits when they're alive. I want to kill the moon. I beg the dream to let me back into my body. And I think we have time for a couple more. So I'm going to do... Okay, so also while I was writing this book, I've always had really vivid dreams, but I started having recurring dreams, just, you know, of images and random, I was really, like, my entire being other than school was in this book, and so my dreams were inclined towards it as well, and I started having this, one of my recurring dreams, actually, was, so I'm vegetarian, but I kept having this dream that I was a hunter, and then I was trying to escape the world that I had built with someone I loved, and suddenly all of the creatures came, like, rose up from the dead and came to reckon with me. So I read a poem about it. This is called Parable of the Unclean Land. And then every animal we'd ever slain clamored forth, moaning like men, moaning like deer, the bullet still in them, the bullet still rushing forward, and there we were, steeped in blood. We'd been deadly, we'd had to be. Two women alone in the backwater in my father's old house and her father's borrowed shoes. We were hungry. We were always hungry, so I tracked blood into the house, hid a .45 in the closet, dressed to mourn. My father taught me how to kill a thing and not flinch. First of four brothers to skin veal, first to shoot a deer in the eye. His wife was the woman at the fire who turned her creatures on her spit. I was the girl. I watched the way he held a gun, stayed up to practice like him. And when I told him I loved a woman, he hit me in a jaw. Stayed up all night, shooting plywood while I watched from my window, and the next morning I made him breakfast. I smiled, told him, yes, I understand. I'm just learning how to be a proper woman, sir. Followed the rats into the smallest corners and felt dead for months after. Unlike him, I'm a good man. Every time I kill, I bury it. When he died, I lived in his house, killed deer the way he did. Kissed the woman he hated, kept goldfish. The house yawned open, and we had to try, for the last time, to not die here. We fled to the train station. Fruit flies hissed at the ticket counter, covered the welcome sign. One deer's left eye was winched shut, angry purple. Hissing, the goldfish appeared at my feet. Dirt still scattered on its flank, the shallows of a grave. I was so sure that in the new city, in the new house, I would be able to love her. The creatures stood in a crescent, stamping their oily feet, and we stood apart from one another with our eyes open. I think next I'm gonna do a really early poem from, I think I was 15, and this is in Split Lip. This is called Pine Street. There's a game we used to play called Mercy. Someone twisted your arm back so tendons almost vaulted through skin. The boy whispered in my ear, "Call Mercy. You know you're just a girl. I'll stop if you call. Just do it." I fought gasps until everyone else surrendered to the sidewalk, until a scream swelled through my throat, until streetlights smeared into dropped dimes. I swear, I waited the longest of anyone. 8 years later, an old woman on the same street said, "You're so strong. I don't know how you do it." Cupped her hands on my forehead, passed them through my translucent form as if to give a blessing, her breath rising sour into my mouth. I was admired, though I was not loved, an image of a girl, but never the girl. The holy men said, "Your life is a battle you win through prayer. Amen." And the entire pew stood as if to attention. Cheers bleeding outward. I could never leave that street. And when all the poplars shriveled up, I painted them forest green. I hid my gentleness like a wound. And so, when I glimpsed something, a deer flashing through those wooded backyards, those tiny metallic sparks, of course I assumed it had to be a dagger. What wouldn't you believe to be victorious? I mean, alive. I scurried off into the smallest burrows to fight alone, orphaned myself and called it liberation, left my body at the altar of anything that flinched. The dirt liked blood, and I learned it. Returned on my knees, studied how to hold a shout, my arms unhinging. Watched as I was buried, the dark so full of writhe, a knife sutured to my throat. Something weakened me, beginning, generously, to cry. Thank you so much, and thank you to DC Books for having me on. This is one of my favorite podcasts ever, and I'm just really, this is such a dream for me. So yeah, and thank you for listening. My book is called Killing It, and it came out with Black Lawrence Press.
You've been listening to episode 85 of Thacy Books, news and views about Thacy literature from the world over. I'm your host, Jenny Bart. Thank you for tuning in. Today, in the Thacy Reads segment, we had Gaia Rajan reading from her poetry collection, Killing It. Episode 86 will be up shortly. Follow on Twitter at Thacy Books, Instagram at Thacy.books, Facebook at ThacyBooksFB. Tag the accounts if you have requests or suggestions. Please go to the website, ThacyBooks.co, if you'd like to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. And please share this via social media to support the poet and help raise the tide of South Asian literature. Thank you. Stay healthy, keep reading, and write well.